God has called us to a tremendous family, and I look at Eric and Betty and Pam and Larry and Susan, all these people that have come to our fellowship because they see a heart here. And what a privilege it is to fellowship with each one of you for all these years. It's pretty humbling. It really is. God has called us to a mighty calling, and he has set a plan for each one of us. The problem is, we also set a plan, and sometimes our plans don't quite come together. But today I wanted to share on God's plan or mine, is the title of my teaching. And God, in the very beginning, set a plan that he would fellowship with man. In the garden, he set man with all that he ever needed, and he gave him his spirit, which all God is. His spirit, his love, and he loved him so much he gave him a companion. And we see in our own lives that, you know, we're not complete without that companion. And Bob and I will be married 40 years in May, and it's been really wonderful. I can't imagine being not together. Didn't think I'd get touched today, but I think what touches all of us is God's love. And God's love continues in our hearts. And I think you might have seen kind of a theme today in all of our music, that Christ in us. Well, God's plan from the very beginning was to have that fellowship with man. And the adversary came and he stole that plan. But God preordained everything and knew that that would happen. So Jesus Christ had to come. And Jesus Christ came and he provided a way that we could, God could be a father and we could be his children. So now we have a relationship with the heavenly, with the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's our father and we are his children. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that. But there's also another part of God's plan that has not been completed. And that's us representing Jesus Christ to the world. We all have Christ in us. We have the mind of Christ. God's provided everything, enabled us so that we could carry on Jesus Christ's ministry. And that's the plan, God's plan. But the adversary is always saying, you're not worthy, and tries to steer us away. But when we do stand and we operate the principles of God, our lives are rich. He turns ordinary people into extraordinary people. And that's who each one of you are. To think you could be anywhere in San Diego. You could be down at the beach paddleboarding. You could be going to SeaWorld. You could go anywhere. But you chose to be here where there's a family and where God's word is taught and loved, and you're loved. And I hope when each of you leave here today that you feel God's love and you know how important you are, because you are part of God's plan. And how should any of us say that someone isn't? God called all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's anyone, even someone that says they're an atheist. You don't know till they die. And they could turn, they could be holding that burden their whole life and then say, I give up. I'm allowing God. I'm surrendering to him. So what I want to do today is, my heart is to show you God's scriptures on his plan for us. And that we are Christ to the world. We had a wedding last weekend, and I have been so blessed to, God said in the, Katie's manifestations was basically my teaching. That was pretty amazing. I wish I could have written it down, but God has a work in us, and he has provided that love that wherever we go, we can touch people. And last weekend we were at a wedding, and before we went, I journaled with God, and he told me that there were lots of people that we would touch with his love. And we sat next to this man who actually worked with our son, knows our son Tim in Northern California, works for the same company. Of all people, 70 people there, we sit with him and talking to him. And he's got a sling, and I asked him, how are you doing there? And he had just had surgery. And by the end of about 5 minutes, I was ministering to him, and he was in tears. But that's what we are. We are just there to jump in and to demonstrate Jesus Christ to the world, and what love that brings. We may not know every word the scriptures, but we know the one who wrote the scriptures, and that's what's most important. We don't have to have fear because love is here. That's my new theme. No fear here, love is... never fear, love is here. Okay. And you can use that too. But what I want to do is look at... So God's plan was to have Jesus Christ come redeem us so that we could have that fellowship together. But it took some time. And he had to take people that were ordinary, and they had to trust him and to fulfill his word. And the first person I want to look at, four different people. I want to look at Abraham and Sarah, Joseph, the Apostle Paul, and you and me. And I think it'll be exciting to see how it all falls together, because each one of them kind of builds on how we see God's plan work in our lives. So if you will turn, let's turn to Jeremiah 29 first. And God kind of sets what his plan is for man. Jeremiah 29:11. Says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." And the ESV translation says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And we have a future and a hope. We already know the end of the game. We have eternal life. There's nothing we can do to fail, because God has accomplished all. But the work that needs to be continued is for all men to hear the truth. And they are going to hear it through our lives, our hearts, our voices. So God has an expected end. He has a future for us, a great hope. Okay, now... before we go into Joseph, I want to show you the mission statement we have in our lives, and that's in Proverbs chapter 3. God's plan is to have all men be saved and come to a knowledge of a truth. So how does this happen? He takes ordinary people, and he fills them with his love and with his spirit. And then what they need to do, their calling is in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and avoid or depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." So, the Message Bible says, this is very simple, this is our mission statement: trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. It's that simple. Isn't that great? It's not like, wow, I gotta climb 5,000 stairs and get holy and go to the mountains and... you know, that's man's works. God just wants us to allow him to work in our lives. He's given us all the promises we can ever imagine, but what do we have to do? Receive them, right? Okay, so Abraham. Here's a wonderful man and woman. They have great... they're wealthy. God talks to them, and God has a plan for them. He takes them out of their country, away from their family, and then he tells Abraham that he's going to be the father of many nations, but he's working with a wife who has been barren all these years. And at 70 years old, they go into Egypt and to fulfill this plan that he's going to have, he and his wife are going to have a baby. There's a little glitch in it. They go into Egypt, and Sarah is 70 years old, and she's beautiful. So Abraham's plan is, I'm going to tell Pharaoh that you are my sister. Okay? Because if he finds out that I'm your husband, they'd probably kill me so then he can take her to wife. And is that what God needed to fulfill the plan? No. So what God did, he took care of Pharaoh and said, don't touch that woman. So Pharaoh goes back to Abraham and says, what's going on here? Did you lie to me? And God prepared everything so he didn't have to step in and figure this out. But I think what's kind of wonderful is at 70 years old, Pharaoh wanted her. We have a goal for our lives. Even if it takes a little makeup or whatever. You know, it's wonderful. So by the time Sarah is 90 years old, she has a child. But there was a period of time there, a long time. But they had to be faithful to what God had to say. And after she conceived, then God told Abraham to take Isaac up to this mountain and to do a sacrifice. And so Isaac says, okay, Dad, what are we going to sacrifice? And he prepares his son because God told him to sacrifice. Well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 22. Oh, and Sarah also kind of tried to deviate from God's plan by giving her handmaid to her husband. Just forgot that little detail there. But yeah, I'm 85 years old now. I don't know if I can do that, but my handmaiden, she can bear many children for me. Well, that wasn't God's plan. And anyways, Sarah had to figure it out that, okay, God really knows what he's doing. So let's look in Genesis 22, 22 verse 10. It says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lo, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seest thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt sacrifice instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, and it, as it is today, in the mount of the Lord, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh is God will provide. And the angel called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying will I multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens, stars of the heavens, and the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. God, Abraham obeyed God's voice. And God's ready to talk to us. All we need to do is obey his voice. And how did Abraham do this? He took a stand, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's what believing is all about. Calling those things which be not as though they were. And he is the father of believing. We are believers. That's what we do. We have believing. We don't have to earn it. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's our life. You know, look what we can learn from that. God is faithful. Whatever he says in his word has to come to pass. It's that simple. That's why we can trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Joseph was the second youngest brother of 12, favorite of his father, Israel, loved him more than all of his children. And then he showed that by giving him that coat of many colors and did many plays on that. But he had it well. You know, anybody wants to be favored. We all have. There were 10 kids in my family. We always wanted to know who was the favored one. I think I was, really. But his siblings were very jealous of that. They didn't like that. So Israel sent him out to check on his brothers, make sure they were tending the flocks properly. And he ended up left in a pit, sold slavery, seduced by his master's wife. I don't think that was quite his plan. He was kind of the favored one. Things kind of switched for him. Thrown into prison. He spent years in prison waiting to be released. And yet, he operated the Spirit of God interpreting dreams. Finally, God exalted him to the second in command in all of Egypt. How did Joseph stay on his course? Let's look at Genesis chapter 50. That certainly wasn't his plan. And can you imagine being second in command of Egypt? Egypt was the wealthiest country in the world. But there was a plan there that God had to have fulfilled so that the bloodline could continue. Jesus Christ could come through. Genesis 50, when he finally revealed himself to his brothers, in verse 19 it says, Genesis 50:19, and Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." If Joseph hadn't been there, the children of Israel race would have died. There was a famine, and Jacob, Israel, had to come down with his sons, and he preserved the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And then, so God's plan had to be fulfilled, and he was willing to do it. It's so wonderful. And he finally brought the children of Israel were finally brought into the promised land, a land of milk and honey where they wouldn't have to work for it. God has provided that same. He wants that same garden lifestyle for us, that where we can walk and talk with him, where we can appreciate all that he's given us. This isn't our plan. We don't have to figure the plan out. We just have to go with the flow. Because he's got it together. You can see all these years it took for Jesus Christ to come. And then his plan continued in us. The Apostle Paul. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. I think all of us know the Apostle Paul. He was an incredible man. The epistles were written by him. He penned them. God gave them to him. He penned them. But he was a bad man. His plan was totally contrary to God's plan. But you see, God took an ordinary, a pretty wild and crazy guy and converted him to make him the greatest apostle. And it doesn't matter what your background was. God works with us. He works with our heart, but we got to trust him. We have to acknowledge him in all that we do. Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 4, Paul tells his credentials. Says verse 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." And in the New Living Translation, I love this. It says, "Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was crucified when I was 8 days old. I was a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. But was that God's plan? No. Once I, and this is still the NLT, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Paul had a plan, but God had a greater one for him. But he had the zeal. You can have great zeal and think you're just on the great path, but if it's not God's plan, it's not going to profit any. God took a man of great passion and taught him the truth. God chose Paul, and he became the great apostle who penned the epistles. He had an amazing walk in fellowship with God and Jesus Christ. God worked with him. He could have got caught up in condemnation and guilt, unworthiness. He could have been abandoned by the other Christians. You know, this guy's a bad guy. There could have been great fear and disregarded what he had to say. But it didn't work that way because God had still had his plan. And if you look at verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I certainly don't know everything, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And the ESV says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And then verse 15 says in the ESV, "Let those of us who are mature think this way." I think that's a little exhortation for us. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal also to you. See, God's going to reveal things if you have a heart to do what God wants you to do. You know, one of the songs was, "Lord, what do you want me to do today?" That's exactly our hearts. God has the plan. We're just here to carry it out. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Paul forgot the past. Are we still holding on to unforgiveness? Are we still holding on to our mistakes? God's forgotten them. We certainly need to. The Apostle Paul, if he had to, we never would have had the Word of God that we have. So, fourth category, you and me. What was our plan? Well, I'll tell you my plan. I was the fourth child of 10 children, born in a very faithful Catholic family. My plan was to love God and Mary and everybody else. Mary, the mother of God. If you weren't Catholic, I guess you would have missed that one. And I was a devout prayer, repeating prayers over and over and over again, thinking that they didn't hear you the first time. I was going to become a CPA, work with my father, who was an accountant, get married, and pray that someday I might make it to heaven. And thank God he had a greater plan for me. I asked my dad one day, "How do you know you're walking according to God's plan?" And he said, "You know when you die." And I was 19 years old, and I said, "Well, I don't like that plan." So I had a talk with God. I figured, okay, I've been praying to him, wherever he is, whoever he is, for a long time, and I'm sure he can hear me. And I said, "Show me the truth." And I actually was in Germany at the time, and I had gone to the Catholic Church in the afternoon, and it was bolted down with the chain and everything, and I couldn't go to Mass, and that was required. It was a mortal sin if you missed it. So mortal sin means you go to hell if you died at that very moment. So I didn't know if I would be struck down or not, but I made it through the week. And at that point, I said to God, show me the truth. And I had a little New Testament, and I started reading Matthew and the begats and all this, and I was thought, well, you're going to have to show me some other way or have someone teach me that, because I'm lost already, the first page. And he did. He showed me the truth, and today I'm here with you because of that. And each one of us have the same story. We ask God, show me what my life is all about. Show me your plan for me. And he's faithful. You know, each one of us know our plan. Sometimes we just need a body. That's why we are the body of Christ, so that we can remind each other how valuable we are, and that what God thinks of each other. We don't need to judge each other because they didn't cross their T right or dot their I, or they think something different. God is love, and in him is no darkness at all. We all came from the same place. What does God have to work with? Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. You know, maybe you had the truth from the very beginning. It took me 19 years before I heard it. But we all came from the same background in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, 2 verse 1, it says, even you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's where we came from. We were dead in trespasses and sins, all of us. No one was perfect. The only perfect man lived a life, and he lived God's perfect will because he always did the will of the Father. But, and that but's really, really important. I say the only but that's pretty is God's. But God is so amazing. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. We are sons of God. We are raised together in Christ. We are made to sit. We have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can speak to that broken arm and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. With that love that we demonstrate, who wouldn't want it? God's love is just so great. He foreordained us. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's who we are. And that's what God has to work with. He's made a new creation in each one of us. We still have freedom of will to decide if we want to do his plan. The world usually tells us, you know, yeah, God's got a great plan, but I got a really demanding job. Well, bring God to your job. You don't have to do things on your own. He chose his abode in us. He's right with us. We're never alone. Most of the time we think, oh, you know, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm just going to eat worms. But that's not God's plan, because he already picked us. He handpicked each one of us. And he chose his abode in us, and he's given us his spirit. We can pray perfectly. We can talk to him perfectly. He can talk to us. The big thing that we need to do is listen to him. Allow him to tell him, okay, I want you to go down here today. That's how Jesus Christ walked. That's how we've got it. That's how perfect it is. It's just, so what we need to do is continue to see how valuable our lives are. That he did take us, very ordinary people, made us extraordinary to walk the walk that Jesus Christ walked. We can heal the sick. We can raise the dead. We can love the unlovable. He loved us. So we can demonstrate that. So how do I know I'm living according to God's plan or mine? Are you seeking God first in your life? Are you trusting in the Lord with all your heart? Are you leaning not on your own understanding? Abandon your plan of the five senses. It won't get you very far. It'll get you frustrated. But I want to take the CPA test and all that. No, that's ridiculous. You know, I don't have to be what I once thought I was going to be, because God's made it available for me to love people. That's the greatest profession you can ever have. Are you acknowledging Him in all your ways? Are you asking for help? You know, great. If you don't know what to say and times are really tough, just yell, "Help." Mm-hmm. That's all you need. That's all He needs to be able to work in you. Then He will make straight your path. He's ready for each one of us. He's calling us to a life of service and communion with Him. All we have to do is listen. So I think that's all I'm going to share today.
Sorry, over now.
Yeah, well, thank you. God really, He has such an amazing life for all of us. We just have to pinch ourselves, I think, sometimes and say, wow, it's really, I am alive in this day and time, knowing God's will in our lives and prepared to do whatever He wants. So God bless you all. Thanks for being here and loving us. And it's wonderful. Thank you. Should we stop it? Heavenly Father, I am truly in awe and gratitude for how You have set this plan out for each one of us and how special we are to You and to one another. I thank You that we can see that in the depths of our heart, that we are Your precious little children and that You have a great and mighty plan for us, that we can be those superheroes of this world, that we can give the light of Your Son to the world, that we can heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. I thank You for pushing us sometimes when we just need to jump out of those bondages of fear and just receive Your love. I thank You for putting people in our paths that we can truly take care of as You've taken care of us, and You will give us the words that we need to speak. Just connect us with those that are truly hungering for You. I thank You for all my wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ here, for Your watchful care over them, for healings for each one of us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, and for Your Son's return. And You've equipped us right now that we're prepared to work for Him, to be Christ to those around us, and then we'll be ready to go. So we thank You for this tremendous Your tremendous love and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I think we got one more song.
All right.
Good.
Good job.
I'll bring you up.
Okay.
How can I?
Transition time two.
Transformers.